Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio on Thursday, May 2nd. A few days removed from my 53rd birthday, so last time you called me a 53-year-old on our show, I corrected you because I was not yet that. I am now. I hope that felt good.
Good.
I'm sure it did. Before we get into the usual political shit, we've gone back and forth on the show about what it would take for you to seriously take government action related to cannabis into account. So I've been saying for years, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and you're like, yeah, fine, whatever. When X happens, you'll talk about it. X might be about to happen.
Yeah, I think it's definitely happening. We'll see about the timing, but the Biden administration moves to basically ease up the restrictions on marijuana, so they're not fully legalizing it. But what they're doing is moving it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3.
Correct.
Or a Class 1 to a Class 3.
No, Schedule 3, you got it right.
And, you know, Schedule 1 is heroin, cocaine,
LSD,
stuff that basically doesn't have any medical value, according to the government.
Correct.
Right?
Which has always been hypocritical, right? Because we have medical marijuana, and yet they're saying there's no medical whatever.
So, but then Schedule 3 takes it to something that you could basically, you still need a prescription for.
Sure.
So that definitely eases things up in the medical marijuana world. But the big thing is, by moving it down to a Schedule 3 now, it really makes things a hell of a lot easier for your dispensaries and people dealing in the world of legal marijuana, because it's, you know, it's been legalized at the state level in so many states that this now is kind of like, not, we won't quite call it the final sort of barrier for marijuana legalization, because again, this isn't legalization, it's just easing the restrictions by moving its classification. But this is significant. This is worth talking about, because we're not talking about it's got to go through Congress and the Senate and then the president has to sign it, right? This is the president saying, right, like, through the authority of my office as the head of the executive branch, which the DOJ is under the executive branch, which the DEA is under the executive branch, which are the ones who are making this decision, right? Like, it's this means that this is happening. Like, what they have to do is then, I think it's got to get approved by the Office of
Management and Budget?
Management. The Management and Budget Office has to approve it. But once they do that, then that's it. It's done.
And what you tiptoed around, but currently banking is such a huge challenge for cannabis companies, because
tiptoe around it.
Oh, you said that. I'm just trying.
Well, I mean, I said it eases the right. Financial. I mean, I didn't know if we wanted to get into, like, and so, all right, as someone,
I mean, I'm not taking a jab at you. I'm just saying that.
So I've worked in this industry, right? Like, so when we were doing different things with internet social media marketing for a cannabis company, it was difficult because we constantly had to change the way we receive payment, because if your payment processor believed that it was cannabis related, the work that you were doing, then they would like freeze it and shut it down, because for them, they didn't want to get caught up in a federal money laundering sort of deal, right? Like, this is all illegal drug money. And so the banks and the payment processors and all them, like, they would, you know, kind of go through it. Now, what's interesting is this was back when the CBD craze was going on, right? Like, so we were working with a company doing some different things, and they were just selling CBD. But even that mm-hmm. was coming under fire because of the hemp. And so we were dealing with kind of jumping around with payment processors and all that other shit. And it was a real pain in the dick. And then it got even harder when we got into more marijuana-specific sort of products and things. And what happens now with this change of classification, though, is that you no longer have the same sort of financial restrictions on the, you know, transaction of the drug. So now banks don't have to put a freeze on it if they see that you're doing something that's marijuana related, because it's not, it's no longer a Schedule I drug.
I totally forgot you did that. I did a project related to the cannabis industry that was more technical in terms of, like, you know, eliminating mold and decontaminating weed. Mm-hmm. And we were dealing with a company in Nevada and a company in California. Mm-hmm. And we were paranoid about two states that had legal recreational weed. We were worried about the shit crossing state lines because now it's a federal issue.
Yeah.
And so we were literally like, okay, how do we get this stuff here? We're gonna, you know, I'm a consultant. I'm not going to tell you. Go ahead and give it a felony. No big deal.
Yeah.
I forgot you'd done that insurance work in the cannabis industry.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't insurance.
I thought it was insurance related.
I did some research on the insurance, but it was marketing, social media marketing. You know, like writing blogs and doing the social media posts and all other stuff. But I mean, neither here nor there.
Either way, it's a big change with it,
and this is a huge change. You know, and why is that important? Because so many of these dispensaries, they were forced to deal in cash,
right?
And it created really dangerous situations. Now, over the last couple of years, I would say last 3 years, a lot of your payment processors have kind of calmed down a little bit. And so, you know, now the big dispensaries, I don't know what they do, right?
Well, hold on. You and I have both been to Planet 13 in Vegas, yeah. And they have a paramilitary organization.
Well, you didn't get to go see, like, the behind the scenes of Planet 13. Like, I got to go.
I saw enough.
Yeah. Well, I went back where they actually count the money. Like, I saw, like, the money counting machine that they have, like, it looks like something that belongs in, like, if you were printing newspaper, that's what this thing looked like. It was massive, right? It was literally, their money counting machine was like the size of this room, right? And I mean, the cash that they were going through was insane. Like, I don't know, and that's why they had the fucking paramilitary team there, because.
But you agree. You know, those, I mean, you, it, fucking... I
mean, that place was fucking Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean in terms of security. I mean with the amount of like assets they had on hand at any given time. It was wild. Wild to see that shit.
If you've ever been to Planet 13 in Las Vegas, it's worth going for the experience. Frankly, not the most affordable place.
No, I mean, but it's a tourist trap. But you know, damn, for a while they were the largest North American dispensary. I don't know if they still are. I think there was a bigger one built.
Money on it.
I think there was a big one built out in California. But either way, they're still very, very, it's still very big, right? And like, it's not the most affordable, and the selection is what it is. But again, it's a sight to see. But just through some of my other dealings, I end up in the back, right, in this office. And like, I'm not in the room where they're counting the money, but it's big glass windows. You could see it.
Wow.
And I mean, just like absurd amounts of money on this giant machine, like coming through. It's wild.
My memory was talking to my bud tender, and a security guy steps up next to me, and this dude had like just body armor.
Yeah,
I
talked to the head security guy. Like, and noticed that most of the guys all were, because they were all carrying H&Ks, and like either VP9s or VP45s, which is a, you know,
submachine gun. Yeah.
No. The VP9 and the 45s are not. They're handguns. There's 9mm and 45s. But it's a gun that I like. I own, right, a VP9 and a 45. And was talking to him about it, and then, you know, he's just, I kind of asked like a couple questions, and then I realized I needed to stop because, hey, how many guys do you have? And then how many shifts do you work? Right? Like, no, I'm not casing the joint. I had to catch myself there, which seems to be the theme of the day here. But, so I think it's a good move. It's a good move because, I mean, I think there's a few people, that are still, you know, reefer madness.
Right.
We saw a commercial today about
suicides.
Just,
yeah,
it said just say no, like just say K-N-O-W, because apparently weed makes teenagers commit suicide. I don't know.
You know what? That happened 2 hours ago when we were having lunch, but I had already forgotten it because it seemed like such an absurd.
Yeah. I mean, it's a joke. Absurd, but, like, I mean, you still have people out there pushing against it. So, I mean, it's good to see that we're kind of, like, those people are now in the minority, and now we're more in a common sense mode, right? Now, whatever the thought behind it is, I'm sure there's, like, someone finally figured out, like, hey, if we start taxing this, then we'll make a lot of money, right? Like, that we can, like, so maybe it makes sense.
Stop putting kids in jail for this.
I don't think anyone cares about the past wrongs that have been done. Just to be honest, do you think Joe Biden don't give a fuck about all the wrong? Like, he may say that. I'm sure someone will make him come out and say, we got to do right by the kid, but he don't give a fuck, right? Like, this, someone figured out the money that the federal government can make. That's it. That's why they're doing this.
And I am going to tip my hat to you on this and say, Joe Biden was so ignorant on this issue for so fucking long. He had the 1960s mentality of, this is what hippies do, and hippies hate America, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, when Joe Biden gets classified as this, like, radical left-wing liberal, I'm like,
it's a joke.
He is the most corporate, bought and paid for Democrat that I can think of. Maybe Hillary Clinton?
I don't know why you're bringing the grandma into this.
Okay, well.
You know, I mean.
I'm trying to, like, when you try to classify Joe Biden as left-wing lunatic, like, he is a corporate bought and paid for.
Who are you telling? Right?
Who am I listening to? I'm listening to Newsmax.
Saying, I have never liked Joe Biden. I agree with that sentiment. Like, he's the cliche politician. He's a guy that he's always rubbed me the wrong way. He's not doing this because I think values the socioeconomic impact, right, that it'll have. Someone figured out the economics on it and said, listen, we're losing out. You need to do this to help. I don't know, rent, like, you're spending money on everything else.
To get young voters to like you, right, you're not doing a great job of, like, that, because, by the way, you know, college campuses are on fucking fire.
Even if it's to offset what the money you're spending with Ukraine or whatever, right? Like, he's doing it to offset another cost through taxation. That's why they're doing this. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care why you're doing it.
If you're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons,
fine. It is what it is. I'll take it.
Agreed. All right, the Trump trial is advancing, and I don't remember how much we got into the Michael Cohen situation.
I don't think we did last week.
And I wanted to talk to you about this because you're a lawyer, I am not, and you've talked about in the past about having, like, people you want to put on the stand, and your thoughts are, if I put this person on the stand, it's a fucking train wreck waiting to happen because...
Here's the problem. Michael Cohen is a terrible witness, right?
Yeah.
He's a convicted felon, and he's convicted for lying to Congress, right? So you have to, like, so you're essentially staking your case on that, and you have a major credibility problem. And so you have to weigh the value of his testimony against the clear and obvious direct line that opposing counsel is going to have on his credibility. Do you feel that the jurors can believe him and disregard the attack on his credibility, which is accurate, right? Which is, we have, you know, we've got an actual
conviction.
Right, like, we got a true track record here. It's not speculation. An admission from him. So, is that testimony going to outweigh the issue that you have with his credibility, right? Can he convince the jury of what he's saying and that what he's saying is true? If you feel that he can, and you feel that he can withstand the cross-examination and you prepare him for it, then you do it. You know, and I don't know. I don't know Michael Cohen. I've never, talked to him or engaged him. And this is where trial law is an art, right?
Okay.
Because this is strictly a gut call. right? Like, there's no checklist that you could check to tell you whether it makes sense to put this guy on the stand. You could do all the weight, but at the end of the day, you gotta look him in the eye. You have to go through it repeatedly. You have to not only, you know, question him, but you have to cross-examine him, and you have to try to be as hard on him, if harder on him, than opposing counsel is going to be day of, right? And you got to try to break him, crack him. You got to try to get under his skin. You got to try to annoy him. You want him to fucking you want it to get to a point where he gets out of his chair when you're taking him through this, and he's got to be held back, like he almost wants to hit you, right? You may even, like me, I'll take the punch, right? I need to know that you're not going to fucking crack. And if they've done that and they're comfortable with it, well, you put them on the stand.
Is there any value in a guy who's an admitted liar saying, yes, I lied, yes, I did this?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to. That's part of the song and dance. You got to do that, right? Because you know, like you have to get out way out in front of it. Right, like that's one of the first. As soon as he goes up on the stand, you identify who he is. Right, they all that other stuff, and then boom, you have to go in and start to address and attack the character issues. It's the first thing that you do.
So
you put it out in front, and then you follow it with everything else. Right, so it's out. It's in the forefront of the jurors' minds, but then you ask him the questions, but you weave the story, and you make it more detailed and more intricate, so people are focusing on that and forgetting about what we started with, right? And you maybe drag the testimony out to make it longer, right? Not with bullshit, but with as much factual data as you can. You load it up, so again, that's what people are thinking about. Now, you know what's going to happen. You're going to rest, right? Opposing counsel is going to come up, and then the first thing they're going to do is they're going to attack it, right? But you've already heard that, like, we've been through this. He said that, right? Right? And then if you prepare him the right way, he's going to answer those questions in a way that you're like, I don't know, but do I care, right? And then in the jury room, what you're hoping is like, yeah, the credibility thing, but I mean, I think, at this point, whatever, he sold us. But what about this thing that he said, right? In the actual test, what about this? What about this? What about this? Right? All these things line up. Is he full of shit? Or like, he got to be telling the truth if all this stuff.
He's already gone to jail for lying before. Right. Why would he do it again?
Right. Like, so that's what you have to do. And there's a lot of risk in that because you can prepare him, but you don't, like, it's hard. Like, do you trust him? Do you trust him to get on the stand? Do you trust that this dude really legitimately hates Trump, or will he get up there and will he fuck you? Because he's still in Trump's good graces, and this whole time he was just buying time so he could get up on the stand and completely fuck this case, and now you've got nothing. And
you're giving me a Godfather Part 2 kind of vibe. The family had a lot of buffers.
Yep.
I mean, in all seriousness, right?
Yeah.
You bring up, Frankie Five Angels, and he's going to be the one who nails the final nail in the coffin, and he gets terrified because of, again, I'm talking Godfather Part 2, but he sees his brother in the audience and goes, I don't know anything about that.
I don't even, like, that's hyper, that happened whatever. In a movie,
yeah,
right? But when you've actually put someone on the stand who was supposed to testify to one thing and they completely testify the whole opposite and fuck your case, fuck your client, right? And make you look like a fucking asshole on the stand, it's a whole different thing. I don't give a fuck about The Godfather 2 when you've actually had it happen. Right, and that's the risk, right?
That's like, why I put it out there.
We knew she was sketchy, right? I'm talking about a personal situation. She was, the girlfriend of a guy and all this other stuff. She was supposed to say one thing. Does not say that, right? Why? Because she was bought out for, some $20 worth of shit that she was shoving up her nose and whatever else. Like, it is a dangerous game that they're playing by putting this dude on the stand. Now, I think he's got every reason in the world to convince people that he's telling the truth and to hang Trump out to dry. And I'll be honest, I'm not paying that close attention to this trial. I don't think it should even, I don't even think he should be, I don't think he should be being prosecuted for this. This is a waste of time. This is a waste of resources. This is, to this trial itself represents what's so much that's wrong with our country and even our criminal justice system. It's a joke, but here we are, and you got to pay attention because it's Donald Trump and he's a former president of the United States somehow because we're that fucking stupid in this country. But this is the shit that we have to deal with. So let me then
pile on to this because why not? Stormy Daniels is an adult film star. An adult film star that someone in this room has sent direct messages to through social media.
I tried to get her on the show when she was in Ohio.
Fair. But you know, to me, her credibility is a funny thing because people will say, oh, you're an adult film star. And her reply is, I can't be more open and honest than that. Right. Right?
Like, what does that have to do with her credibility? It has absolutely nothing. Right? Like, because Trump
might be trying to deny that all this happened. And, like, what
they're trying to do is say, because you're a porn star, you have bad morals. If you have bad morals, then we can then question your credibility. Right? Like, that's a hell of a leap to get to. Right? Like, your point, right, and to anyone who's got a brain, like, look, this woman puts her tits, ass, and vagina on the screen for everyone to see, right? Like, we know, we know pretty much everything you need to know about a person, right, through her films. So, you know, what does she have to get out? Now, what she has to get out of it is exactly what she got out of it, and it's paid. To be honest with you, that's the thing she's got to overcome, right? Like, that's the thing that she's got to overcome, and that's a problem that the prosecution has, right? Because you have to prove that this was done to manipulate the election, right?
As a prosecution, right.
Right, as the prosecutor, you have said this money was given to her so she would be quiet, so that it would not negatively impact the election and this kind of campaign financing, bring it all together. Right? But the defense is, look, I didn't want Melania to find out.
Yeah.
It's my wife. I got a kid with her.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with me running for president, why I paid her off. I just didn't want my wife to find out. I want my kids. It's embarrassing.
Sure.
You know, and how I would do it, at no point in time would I ever even reference that I was running for president if I'm Donald Trump or his team, right? Like, my whole reason for paying her off was I didn't want my wife to find out. I didn't want my kids to find out. I didn't want to have to explain it to all them. You know, I got a pass with women. I was trying to clean up my image for my family, for my wife. I had a lapse in judgment and whatever.
And he's not even going to be put in a spot where he has to even say that, right?
Right, but
he's
that's the message you convey.
Your point is valid, and that's why I agree with you. This is, of the things Trump is accused of from a legal perspective, this is the weakest.
This is a joke.
And yeah, and it's not going to go, you know, yeah, it'll make him look bad in the court of public opinion to those who care, and the people who could possibly be influenced don't. You know, the hypocrisy of Bill Clinton's the worst human ever because he got a blowjob in the White House, and Trump is, you know, a red-blooded American male because he fucked a porn star. That hypocrisy is what it is, and it's not going to get any traction whatsoever.
I mean, Bill Clinton got impeached because he lied to Congress about getting a blowjob, right? And he was in front of Congress because he had an affair, now, albeit with a very young intern, Monica Lewinsky, at the time, but nonetheless, right? This is a bastardized version of that, right? Like, it's
actually probably less salacious
stretch that you're making to say, you know, I guess you're saying, all right, well, the campaign, the money came from the campaign. The campaign money went from his account to, you know, the Donald J. Trump Foundation, whatever account, which is the account that paid her off. It's like, that's
the legality is tenuous, because if you said this was a legal expense, not a payout, not a
I can't believe that they think that they have a slam dunk from the prosecution side on this. right? Like, I just find it hard to believe that they think that this was the right way to go. And it's not even because I just don't think you've got a strong enough case. I don't think you have a good case. I don't think you've got a case that has legs, right? Like, that's got full leg. Like, I think there's some, but I don't think you're going to get beyond a reasonable doubt, right? So what are we doing this for? Like, and we know what the answer is. You're doing this for attention.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love, you know, I'd like, love, I'd love to push back, but I can't.
It's just, it's ridiculous, right? Like, the other cases against him, like,
are about the fucking
right
republic,
right? Georgia, right? Yes, fucking take his ass down, right? January fake electors,
6th, yes.
January 6th, yes, take his ass down. Like, yes, well, we that I'm with whoever, right? All day, the obstruction, even the documents case. Right, like that's still a legitimate issue because he's taking shit out of the White House, right? That they're like, hey, you can't take that out of the White House, and there's reports all over that he was just, it was out there for anybody to see, and he was sharing the information with anyone who was willing to listen.
Right,
right. Problematic. Those are that's actually problematic. I actually give a fuck about that. I give a fuck about the fact that him and Rudy and Lindsey Graham, you know, we're trying to get fake electors down into Georgia so that they can manipulate the vote, and they're trying to get the guy to go and find vote. Like, that matters. You know?
Right. Paying a porn star.
I don't give a fuck. Right. Like, this is stupid.
I am with you.
Anyways, the campaign finance violation. Violate these nuts. No one cares. Go away. Oh.
25 minutes in, Steve brings up his nuts. The longest time we've got on a show.
I said these nuts. I could be holding a set of nuts. I could be referencing someone else's nuts. I could be referencing your nuts.
Let's talk about...
There's two sets of nuts in this room.
There's these nuts and those nuts.
These nuts are your nuts.
All right, this is going in a direction that neither of us are happy about. So, Kristi Noem... I'm
fine with
it. Okay. All right, one of us isn't happy about it. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, wrote a book. And I heard the story, and I heard that she claimed she shot her... 14-month-old bird dog to put it down because it wasn't trainable.
He spelled her name wrong.
Okay, then we can see that. It's Kristi Noem, right?
Yes, Kristi with a K and no H.
And I give no fucks. All right, you're being a dick for no reason right now.
I'm not.
You absolutely are. Absolutely are.
If you see how her name is actually spelled.
There's no alcohol or cannabis involved in this conversation that I'm aware of. Okay, I wrote it wrong.
It took me a second to process what you were saying. That's why I didn't immediately jump in, because I wasn't reading her name as her name, even though you basically did it kind of phonetically and kind of not. Anyway.
Do you feel good about yourself right now?
Proceed.
Do you feel good about yourself? Do you? All right. Anyway, she shot and killed a dog because she deemed it untrainable at 14 months old. I have a lot of experience hunting over bird dogs. And to be fair, if you're doing this in South Dakota, where you're hunting native pheasants rather than birds that were literally plopped down on a field for you to shoot, which I used to call going grocery shopping with a shotgun, because these birds had no fucking chance. They would literally put them in the field at 6 a.m. and we'd be shooting them by 9. But this is not going to go well politically for her if she is, in fact, Trump's running mate. The folks who like Trump like dogs more than they like people. And that she shot a dog to death in a pit because it was not performing as a bird dog. And yeah, apparently it nipped at her or whatever. I've seen that 100 times. Well, 10 times. I think this will actually be something that matters more than it should in the political arena.
Well... So, I agree with everything you said there. You know, like, what? Also, what the fuck is wrong with you, Kristi? So the bird dog wasn't good. So, then, all right, have it go do something else. Or it's just a farm dog. What? You shot the dog in the fucking face? 14 months old? That means you're not good at training dogs. That's a you fucking problem.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't, like, go send it to somebody else to train it. You know what I mean? Or give the dog away. Go put it on another farm, right, to do something else, to do something with cattle or something. I don't know. Or just have it be a dog that just runs around outside or whatever. You got a lot of options other than shooting the dog in the fucking face. Just at a basic human level, I don't care what your political affiliation is, what your role is. That's just basic not being an asshole.
And
like, there's no justification for shooting the dog unless it was actually rabid.
Right. Well, and the point I wanted to make and kind of stumble over was, she's bragging about it. She's like, I can make the tough decisions. I shot a puppy in the face. I'm like,
yeah, you're not good at making those. That's right. Like, it was a choice that you did. Right, it was a choice that she didn't need to make. That which means it wasn't a tough decision, right? Like, a tough decision is a choice that you have to make. There's no other choice, but you need to figure out another choice, right? Or there's two terrible outcomes. You didn't need to shoot that dog, right? Like, right. You made that, and clearly it wasn't a tough decision for you, right?
Hey, by the way, this is a spaniel. This isn't a...
Right, it's not like it was a Rottweiler or a Pitbull or a Cane Corso or any one of these fucking...
tear your apart your kids.
Here's my thing with this. You know, aside from just the lack of need for this to even be a story, and the fact that she thinks that it's somehow a selling point. Now, someone made the point that, you know, Trump doesn't like dogs, so maybe this was a direct appeal to Trump, right? And I wouldn't put it past anybody because all these people are idiots. But what I will say is that there's enough people around Trump who recognize that, like, look, they recognize a shitstorm when they see one, right? Now, he often creates them, so they have to deal with them, but if they can avoid them, they will. She's not going to be the running mate now. That's off. That is, she took herself out of it by doing this.
I hope you're wrong, to be honest with you, because I would love for her to have to be
I'm not, though. I'm not, because there's people already around Trump saying she's done.
Here's what I'm going to push back. How many people have actually stood up to Trump?
This isn't about standing up to Trump. This is literally about erasing her name off of a list. He won't even fucking know. Right? Like, this isn't as much of a Trump, like, I want her, right? Like, they're going to put a list of names in front of him. He's going to ask to see them all one by one. He's basically going to tell them, you know, kiss the ring, suck my dick. They all will. Whoever does it the best is who gets it. And then this is going to be a question about access. He's got gatekeepers. She's out. She's done. She killed it herself.
You know, you're probably right. And more importantly, what does she have to offer? I mean, I can help you win South Dakota. Oh, great. All 12 voters.
Look, she would have been the right choice. She's got the appeal. She's attractive. White, says all the right things, does all the right things. She's what Ron DeSantis should have been, right? Really. Except that apparently she's a fucking sociopath and can't contain it, right? Was giddy about sharing that fact with the world. Hey, yeah. I shoot puppies.
Yeah, and you know...
Right? Like, who the fuck wakes up and says,
you
know what?
She wrote a book and
who wakes up? Who literally wakes up and says, you know what is going to be a real good idea? I'm going to tell everybody about how I killed this puppy, and I'm going to be real excited about it. Let's do it.
And again...
Get after it, America.
When I first saw the story break, I was like, I need to make sure this is valid. And then I found out it came out from her book.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... It wasn't some... You know, so-and-so from the farm in South Dakota.
This is no interpretation.
Exactly.
This is no interpretation.
Exactly.
And she did it. It's not like it was forced. No one asked you for this story.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, this is one of those memes, like, absolutely nobody.
This is one of the things.
Christy Nome.
Here's something you should deny when it gets confronted, when you could get confronted about it on, you know, a debate stage. Not only aren't you denying it, you fucking published it.
Yeah, it's wild, bro.
All right. All right, Arizona 1864 abortion law is getting challenged, which is great that we're standing up to things that were considered good practice in 1864. You know, this is an issue that I always try to tap dance around. It's going to be a huge issue in the 24 election. It might be one of the weird things that actually doesn't get Trump reelected, because he's tap dancing around this like it's almost comical about how he's bragging that he got Roe v. Wade overturned, but then claiming he's not anti-choice, and like, dude, you can't have both of those. In classic Democratic fashion, the Biden administration has managed to fuck up anything they could do to actually gain some traction. They talk about it like it's a victory. It's like, guys, you didn't win anything. The country is very divided on this issue, and you sound completely hypocritical. And I'm very frustrated with the Biden campaign in terms of, you know, yeah, you say all these things, but you're not capitalizing on any of it. It's not moving the needle politically. I don't know what they've got to do differently, but they got to do something different. Sorry.
How do we go from abortion to Biden's got to do something different?
Just how they're handling the issue. They're
what issue?
Abortion. Abortion rights.
This is Arizona. This is a state issue. What the fuck does that have to do with Biden?
The fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned and the Trump administration brags about it being overturned and Biden saying that...
But there's nothing Biden can do about it. So... I'm saying this isn't a Biden issue. This is a Congress issue. Right? You want this resolved, then Congress got to pass a law. Right? To resolve it. That's
and Biden would have signed it.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, and he'll sign it. But this is a congressional issue. And you know why that ain't coming? Because Congress is a fucking mess. Right? I mean, you know, like they're going to vote to push Mike Johnson out. Right? Now, before we get into all that, we're getting off of it. Look, I think this is a good move by Arizona. Right? Like, you had their conservative Republican...
Carrie Lake?
Their Senate. All right. Right, or I forget how it goes down, but they bring back this law from 1864 that bans abortion across the board, right? They're just like flat out, right? And the state's like, whoa, that's not, we don't want this, right? So, you know, Carrie Lake is running around. Like, Carrie Lake doesn't have a job, by the way. Like, she's running for office, right? She's still trying to sue because of, you know,
she lost the
election or whatever.
Governor, Senate.
I think she was running for governor.
I think you're right.
Now she's running for Senate.
Okay.
For the Senate seat there that Kristen Sinema is vacating or not vacating,
yeah,
but
yeah.
She's not running for election again, yeah. Because she was a bony. So this law comes back into play, and then someone must add. I forget how it came to be. It popped up on my radar because their state Supreme Court upheld that it had never been repealed as a law, so it's in effect, right? That's not the ruling that you want necessarily, but it's probably the right one, right? Like, the court is looking at it and saying, we don't have a good way to say, like, no, we're going to just ignore this rule, right? So now they're going through the process of actually repealing the law and taking it off the books, which would then eliminate the ban on abortion. So now conservatives in Arizona would have to come up with another way to try to attack abortion. Now that's significant, right? Because it should alert that every state that does have reasonable abortion laws, like, look, they can come under attack and you have to be vigilant and you need to encourage your congressmen, right, to get out there and put together a law that would legalize abortion across the board, right? Like, to make a federal law that would legalize it. Like, that's what needs to happen so that these sort of games stop. And the shit that we're seeing down in Tennessee, which I've already talked about before on the show, having, you know, a personal friend there having to deal with it. That's what's needed. Now, I don't put that, as much as I don't like Joe Biden, I don't put that on Biden, because he can't do anything with it until it actually comes to his table, right, or his desk,
sure.
And Congress has to be the one to do that.
All right, well, it's going to be interesting to see what Arizona does. I mean, Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, as you mentioned, there's a lot of...
It matters in Arizona because clearly the voters are not in lockstep with, you know, majority of the voters are not in lockstep with your conservative side in that state. Like I said, I don't know.
And it was a key win for Biden in 2020. And
right. But some of the, like in Texas, no one's trying to change it in Texas. Now, maybe they will, right? Like maybe there's a group, but I don't know. They're not going to get the support. So again, that's where the federal thing comes into play, right? And getting a law passed across the country that says that legalizes this and takes some of this out of the state's hands, because that's the only way you're going to resolve it.
And that's what Roe v. Wade did, and then was undone, and now it the role that will play in the 2024 election is going to be, frankly, disturbing and frustrating, but also very real. I just find it, you know, the extremists on both sides.
It'll be interesting to see what type of role it plays, right? Because the Democrats aren't doing a great job. I mean, to your point that you were going to earlier, right, of they're not doing a great job of kind of putting this out there. Like, look, I mean, you've already been under attack. You've already lost access in some places. The only way to get this flipped around is if we get control of the House, get control of the Senate, we get control of the White House, and we make things right with, you know, federal legislation. That's what needs to happen, but that's not, is that the message that you're seeing, hearing, getting, and feeling?
No, that's my whole point. Yeah. Yes, you're right, 100%, that I'm like, this is, and to be fair, maybe they're waiting until maybe we get closer to November.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Like, you've got a ways to go before people are really locked into this. So do you want to waste your bullets now? And there's the
obvious. I agree with the don't.
You know, don't. But I mean, they got to say something, because I don't know what their message is. I don't know what their base. I don't know what they're gonna really kind of go off of here, to get people to vote for them.
The numbers don't look good right now for the Democrats. Having said that, you know, it doesn't matter what the score is at halftime, and. You know, especially in an election that's decided on a day or a short period of time, depending on voting regulations, I think there might be some good. This might be a good decision to not start fighting the fight now. You know, Trump saying I'll debate Biden anywhere, anytime, any place, blah blah blah. I'm like, you know, you won't, and there's no point.
Why would they?
Was that?
Why wouldn't Trump do it? Trump would absolutely debate Biden.
I disagree. I think he's looking terrible. I think he looks terrible lately. I've been watching him so much.
Yeah, but he don't care. He don't think he looks terrible, and no one's going to tell him that.
All right.
He's going to go out there, and how does he treat debates? He treats them like he's on fucking Saturday Night Live, right? Like he's at a roast, right? He's out there, he's trying to crack jokes, and he's trying to, you know, he's making facial expressions, he does all that sort of stuff. Like, he thinks, that's how he engages with. So to him, right, yes, I'll do a debate with just me and Biden, right, where I can make fun of this guy the whole time, and everybody could, like, it'll be mostly people looking at me, because nobody's going to look at him, because he's lame, look at me, I'm awesome, right? Like, he's literally fucking Eric Cartman. What are we doing? Eric Cartman. So of course he's going to want to debate him.
All right, if I'm Biden, I'm like, we'll debate in September. Shut the fuck up now.
All right, that's a different conversation.
It is. You're right. But I think Trump's talking shit because I think he doesn't want it, because he doesn't want Sleepy Joe to not look so sleepy. And as much as Joe Biden, you know, he's claiming he wants to have debates be drug tested because Joe Biden's on cocaine. That guy's not interesting enough to do cocaine. I know a lot of cokeheads. No. He ain't doing coke. You're giving me the look like, yeah, he's on coke.
I don't know. No. I don't know. I'm not saying that. Okay. But let's not use that. Like, come on, bro. Like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I got to start bringing you to more events. But
no, you don't. No, trust me. I've been made aware of this shit way more.
I mean, just like the people that you wouldn't think are.
Trust me. My eyes have been open to this.
Yeah.
I can't see Joe Biden being one of them. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am.
You can't say my eyes have been open and then say
I can say that of the people. All right.
Okay.
Of the people I've seen, like,
I don't know. All I'm saying is that whole concept of me being able to look at someone and tell you, I can tell you, basically, nah, I ain't doing that anymore, because I've seen enough. with the most unsuspecting people, right? To realize, like, you know what? You don't know anybody. You do not know in any of these people in the like, you don't know. And we all got weird shit that we're into or vices or whatever. Everybody does. Trust me. The people at the tippity-tippity top, especially out there, they all got them. They all got something. Sorry. Like,
I just... In my relatively naive perception of the world, the number of people that I would have never thought were into that shit who are constantly blasting.
And I don't know if it's cocaine. I don't know. It could be anything. He could be into strangling bitches with his ties. I don't know. All I know is that the list of vices with these people is insane. Now, look, I got to throw myself in there because I'm into my own weird shit. If it ever came out, people would be like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm just saying, I mean, pot meet kettle, but... Just do yourself a favor. Do not give anybody the benefit of the doubt. Just don't go down that road, right? You're good.
All right. Let's move on to college protests. We talked about this a bit last week. We didn't get deep into it,
but this is my thought on this is starting to kind of get proven out a little bit. I don't like the protests. I'm not a protest guy. I get that they have their place in history. And they maybe have their overall place in general, in society, community, whatever. Just not my thing, right? I don't feel that it is as effective as those who protest believe that it is. Even going back to the civil rights movement, you know, the people who were really into that don't like to have that conversation, but again, whatever. My issue with this was, it didn't feel like this was being led or driven by students. But this was coming from the outside, but there were plenty of students a part of it, right? And that has been that's starting to get proven out as they make these arrests, right? They arrest this person doesn't go to the school, they've got no affiliation with the school, and yet they're the ones, you know, leading the charge and throwing the rocks and everything else. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, right? Are they paid agitators? Are they from George Soros? Are they really MAGA paid to make the protesters look bad? I don't know, right? I don't know where these people are coming from. I don't know what their motivations are. Are they from some, you know, shady, shadowy organization, or are they just the type of people who are just looking for a fight because they want to see the world burn? I don't know. I don't know who they are. You know, everyone will back into their camps immediately, right? If you're conservative, then you're going to say they're Antifa, right? And that they're, you know, you're going to say they're Antifa and or Black Lives Matter, and they're paid by George Soros. That's what you're going to say. You're saying it is, right? If you're on the progressive left, you're going to say that they were paid by Trump and MAGA, right, to come in and infiltrate and make them look bad. I don't think... either of those are accurate. I think that they are probably relatively independent. There may be some local connectivity and coordination that goes on. I think that they feel that they're mission-based, but in the end, they're just agitators. Maybe they're getting paid, maybe they're not, but either way, they're just agitators, and whatever the next thing is to protest that's on their side of the political line, they're protesting it, and they want to take those protests as far as they can.
You know, I see it, and I'm like, I'm cynical about how much you actually know who you're protesting on behalf of, because I'm very sympathetic to the civilians on both sides of this, and the anti-Semitism, you know, attacking American Jewish citizens as a result of this is so misguided. Palestinian people have been treated horribly across the board. We've talked about this on the show multiple times. So I'm empathetic to them as well. But when I see people who are so gung-ho all of a sudden, I'm like, I've known you for 10 years and I've heard about this for 6 months. Like, where the fuck was your outrage 9.5 years ago? And that doesn't discredit what they're saying, other than I didn't hear this shit when it wasn't politically popular, and now you're taking a stand, and you know the whole, you know, grabbing the political headlines and acting like you've been a champion of a cause for years, when in fact you just opened your eyes to it 6 months ago, a year ago, whatever. I'm cynical and annoyed about that.
Where I go to is like, look, I've been very open with saying, like, Israel's going too far. They need to pull back. Like, you made your point. But now you've killed way too many innocent people and all this, and this has to stop. But, like, look, October 7th was vile.
Yes.
Like, if you know, because what I hear was, well, before October 7th, the Israel, no. No. There's nothing that happened prior to October 7th that justifies what happened on that day. Right? They went
100%
in,
agree.
Killed, raped, murdered 3,000 people. Okay? Just it was a brutal massacre, and there is nothing that has happened in the past that justifies it.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. There's no, there's not even a counterpoint to that.
There's just nothing that justifies it. So stop with that bullshit. Well, before, no. But you just, like, I don't want to hear the, well, eventually you just break. Right? Like, just stop. Because that's usually coming from some person that's never actually been broken before. Right? Bad breakup with a boyfriend. Right? Dad wasn't nice to you. Right? Said mean, that's not being broken. Right? You want to be broken, we can break you. Right? But that's not... there's no excuse for murdering and raping at all.
Kidnapping.
But when you're talking about thousands of people, no, it's an act of war.
Yeah.
And now you got a war, right? There's some people out there that say, look, you do, like, because people are asking, like, 3,000 people. You come in and kill 3,000 people in the U.S., we will level your country. Afghanistan.
Even if you had nothing to do with it.
Iraq. You know, I mean, come on. Right? And I mean, I'm sitting there, with, I'm number one with the fucking flag. Right? Go get him. Right?
I mean, I was
so,
that guy.
So to that point, I get where Israel is at. But I'm also saying, fucking stop. Right? Like, you just have killed too many innocent people in all this. Right, you've killed your own people trying to kill their people because, and you're doing it in a way like that. You're doing it in a way that exposes yourself, right? Like when you killed your own Israeli citizens, they were naked. They were in their underwear waving white flags. You just thought that they were Palestinians, so you didn't give a fuck about the rules of engagement or anything. You said it feels like you have an order. That if you see a Palestinian, shoot them on sight. I don't care, man, woman, or child. Hamas, they're all Hamas. They're all terrorists. Kill them all. That's what it feels like you have said to your soldiers because that's how they're acting.
You know, so if you don't know the story, there were three Israeli hostages who escaped, were trying to flee to freedom, and were shot to death by Israeli defense forces. And we talked about it on the show. I'm just... Mm-hmm. Recapping for people. And Steve, I always go back to, you know, we brought up Iraq. I mean, the horrors of war are things that we don't like to think about, not really talk about. But one of the tactics by people, the counterinsurgents in Iraq, was have a kid stand in the middle of a road and have a convoy have to stop to avoid running over a child. So they stop, and then you throw an IED at them.
Yeah.
And so the policy became run over the child.
Yeah.
And that happens. And look, I'm not...
I got one of my best friends is an Iraq and Afghanistan vet.
Okay.
Did multiple tours over there.
Did he come on the show once or someone
else? No, okay. Sam.
Oh, okay.
But I often stay with Sam when I'm in the Youngstown area. And their experiences over there are fucking brutal. Women,
what I just
children,
described.
Yes, all women
and worse, maybe.
Children attacking them, setting them up, luring them into situations, right, where they end up getting, you know, jumped, shot, attacked, whatever. you know, IEDs thrown at them, grenades at them, shot at, all of it, right? Like, it is a whole different sort of situation over there. And to their point, right, all these people protesting, like, if we took you and put you over there, Hamas would take your white ass and make you a hostage. If you're a woman, they're probably going to rape you. If they're a man, they may cut your dick off.
If you're gay, they will murder you.
Right. Like, and you, they will not give a fuck that you give a fuck about their anything. You are then property to them that they consider below human. There are no human rights. Maybe they feed you just enough to keep you alive, right? They will beat you. They will repeatedly rape you and assault you. It will not be a pleasant experience. So you can do all this shit all you want to, but if we had an opportunity to drop you over there, it would not go well for you, right? Like, so there is a certain reality there that needs to be accepted. But I think, like, you, and look, this is, it's hard, and I don't, but look, you can't deny the terrorism, right, that Hamas has, you know,
harbored
acted that, out Harvard's against like, the Israelis.
Like a fair word. It's,
now, but it, at the same time, what Israel has done to the Palestinians and Gaza is also, like, the two horrific, wrongs sure. don't make a right. Like, you've got two very wrong groups here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the only people I care about in this, right, are the innocents. The innocent women and children and elderly people that are truly not out there to caught, like, they just want to live their lives, and yet they've been caught in this war. And they're being slaughtered one by one. Those are the people that I'm concerned about. And I'm not just going to ignore and say, oh, well, this is war and some, there's collateral damage. Like, there's collateral damage, and then there's fucking genocide.
Yeah. And the in this case, again, like you just said, there's so much awful on both sides. And this is where the U.S. has failed miserably. The U.S. and the U.N. should be stepping in and going, okay, everyone sit the fuck down. We're not going to allow continued, you know, whatever, hostilities, however you want to call it.
According to I don't know, whatever, we can't do that. I don't know. Apparently that can't happen. Right? I can't. Well, I mean, because
I mean, the U.S. has failed to help it, right? I mean, this is
I mean, I would tell BB, I would just like, look, either stop it or you don't or get another
shut
dollar.
Shut the fuck off. Yep.
Right, you don't get another dollar.
Yep.
Right?
100%. Not only don't you get another dollar, but we will start funding.
Oh, I don't do that.
I'm going to start doing it.
Funding who?
Funding. Oh, shoot. Who?
Who? Yeah. Who are you going to put money into to do what, Jim? Think about what the fuck you're about to say.
No, you're right. I'm going to back off. I'm going to back off of that. Christ.
No, or we're going to start funding Saudi Arabia?
No. Well,
are we going to start funding Iran?
Hold on. Top.
Who?
So, start funding her. No, you're correct. I'm backing off.
Well, Saudi Arabia is funding the
shit out of but, forever. Okay.
But still.
No, you're right. There's who? No.
Iran?
There's
Pakistan?
No. Egypt? No.
Iraq? That'd be weird.
No. That'd be, well, we've done it, then we didn't do it, then right. we undid it.
I mean, maybe Jordan?
No. I'm backing off.
Okay.
I'm just not letting you continue to drag me through the coals.
Right. Look, all I'm saying is that I think you cut them off and just like, look, if you don't stop, I can't stand by and watch you wipe out another country, including all their women, children, everybody else. So you either figure out a ceasefire or you stand alone. Over there with them.
Right. Right.
And we'll make a big announcement about it. A real big one. Real super big announcement.
I'm backpedaling, not even just.
Right? I mean, like, and that's,
no, you're
that's
right.
All you have to
there's,
do.
There's no.
That's all you have to do. And this ends immediately.
There's no.
You know, because what they'll do is that they'll say fuck you and we're gonna keep doing what we want, but then they'll start to burn through your ammunition and they'll have less weapon and then they'll realize, oh shit, we don't actually have enough missiles to replenish the Iron Dome, and someone in Iran has figured that out, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden they come to the table.
Let's talk sports for a bit and then call it a day, because I want to change subjects really badly right now.
Okay.
So LeBron James is a free agent. He wants to play with his son. that would be kind of cool. I think there are teams that will draft Bronny James to get LeBron for a year. And I'm cool with that.
Me too.
Okay. You want to come? You want back to Cleveland?
I'll take him. I'll take him. I mean, agree. You end up stuck with Bronny, and I don't think Bronny's going to be all that good, but who cares?
Boy, the story comes full circle, though, doesn't it? If LeBron comes back to Cleveland with a team that's... The Cavaliers are a legit good basketball team right now. I mean, they're on the verge.
They're a good team.
They're legit. They're 3-2 on Orlando.
You don't go to Orlando and get dusted 2 games in a row by double digits.
By 30 points in one. Okay. But to your point, they won three.
Listen, they're a playoff team that's probably going to get to the second round of the playoffs. LeBron coming, what does he bring? It's hard to say, right? He brings LeBron.
I don't know.
He's
a unique.
He is unique because it's like, do the Cavs need him? Sure.
I mean,
if he's gonna give you 25 and 9 and whatever his ridiculous stat line is at 40, I'll take it. Absolutely. Does he screw up the chemistry of the team? Yes. Right? Yes. Because when is he not?
Well, okay.
Can you have LeBron and Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland?
And Bronny, because he's not going to come to watch his kids sit on the bench.
Look, the funny thing about LeBron being on the same team as his son is that there was a meme years ago that said, like, LeBron was telling something to his son in his ear, like in like a high school game. And the meme said, like, don't think I won't trade your ass too. Right? And he was talking to Bronny. So, I feel that in my bones that, like, LeBron kind of got that thing from Michael and Kobe where it's just like, if a guy ain't perform, I don't care who he is, I'm done with him. Right? Like, I mean, if you go back to the Olympics, remember when Kobe, like just put his whole ass, like, shoulder into Pau Gasol's chest? Like, right when the Olympics started and everybody was like, oh, my God. They did a documentary about that basketball team. And everybody was just like, yeah, Kobe came out and said, like, first play of the game, I know what they're going to do. And he's just like, I'm going to line up here. Pau's going to set a pick, and I'm going to run right through his motherfucking chest. Right, that's exactly.
So they're teammates in LA,
are teammates, and they had just won a championship together. Okay,
all right.
So Kobe goes to LeBron and D Wade and all those guys, and he's just like, "I'm gonna run right through that motherfucker's chest." They're like, "It's your teammate, bro. Chill." Right, and sure enough, he goes out, and I mean, he barrels through Gasol. Gasol goes down, right? Can't catch his breath. Is on the ground and, like, looks and is like, ugh, fucking Kobe, right? And then he gets up, right? And then the rest of the team is like, holy shit, Kobe, okay. Well, all right. Well, if Kobe's running over Pau Gasol, I guess we're running over all of Spain. And then they go on to win by, like, fucking 30 or whatever they did. But point is, right, LeBron was on that team with Kobe. If Kobe is willing to run through Pau Gasol's chest, who is basically like his brother and is like the one guy that's still there with his family now that Kobe's gone, then I don't know. LeBron may very well have no issue with his son being benched if his son isn't playing up to par. I don't know if he would get his son traded out of town.
I would think not.
But,
that's
one where Bronny better not fuck around because he may find out.
The Kobe thing, I have no problem with.
I don't either. I just love the story because I mean Kobe is a guy that grew on me over the years as he matured, as I matured.
When did that happen?
I came to respect who he was, how he developed as a player, his mentality. I wasn't a fan of the whole Mamba mentality thing, but I get it. And then I started to really embrace him more the more I read and learned about him.
I remember when he died, I texted you and you were you thought I was wrong. You're like, there's no way that's true. Like,
yeah, it didn't make sense. It just, and that was hard. His daughter, it's hard when you're, you know, as a parent, right? Like, it's so cliche and I hate to do it, but as a parent, like, shit just hits you different. And then when it's directly relatable, father, son, father, daughter, right?
And trying to get your kid to a ball game.
Yeah, and you know. Now where I can't relate to Kobe is like, hey, we're just going to hop into this helicopter for a ride across town or wherever they were going. But just even still.
No, I remember that hitting you hard. I remember
it just,
you and I. Because
I couldn't imagine it, right? Like, hey, we're both going to die and like, I'm going to lose one of my kids. Right, I'm, you know, my family, like, boom, dead. Like that's hard. So that's why I took that hard. But look, I would take at the end of the day, yes, I'm gonna take LeBron. I'm gonna take LeBron. I'll deal with him fucking up the chemistry of the team, and if we end up not being good enough, so be it. Could he be what LeBron is actually what they need? LeBron is what they need. You know why? Because this team responded. To who? Tristan Thompson, right?
I forgot about that.
Right?
Yeah.
No. They brought Tristan Thompson back. He's on the team right now, today.
Right.
And
veteran leadership.
Yeah, the other night, like he, but it, not just the veteran leadership, but how he played, because Tristan was there, right? Like Tristan was there when the Cavs won a title. He was a major part of them winning a title.
Sure.
He knows what it takes. Like people clown him because of the whole Kardashian thing, but Tristan Thompson is a fucking is that guy. Right, he's not Dennis Rodman, but Dennis Rodman-esque, right? With that sort of just
swagger,
right? Like get it done, be tough, be gritty, yeah. go get the
not
ball.
Not all about the stats so much as
right. And so LeBron is a guy who's won multiple championships in multiple places, who knows how to win a title, who knows what it takes. But he's also LeBron, which is a unique type of great player, and he probably screws up the chemistry of the team. He screws up the coaching. And the rotation and everything else. So I don't know how much further you get with LeBron with this team, but I don't know. It would be interesting.
You know what? It would certainly make Cleveland a highlight on national television again.
Look, well, we were this year. Like you just,
LeBron adds to it, though. Come on.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but the team was already on. Like they were. They were the number one seed going, like, up until Donovan Mitchell got hurt, they were the number one seed in the league.
Yeah.
Right? Like, their star was high, right? But then, you know, some injuries towards the end, and it kind of fades. I don't even, like, it's not like it was, like, you know, in those years when he left.
Originally.
Right? Like, before he got here or when he left, right? Like, the team, like, you've got Donovan Mitchell. You've got Darius Garland. You've got people who have national name recognition. But he does change that dynamic. I would take him back. It would be fucked up. I don't think we would get to a championship because I think he just would screw it up, but I wouldn't mind it. It'd be fun to watch.
I agree.
Man, he's still really good, even though he's old.
And when people say, I know we talked about this personally. I think we talked about on the show. Someone came to me saying, LeBron James sucks. I'm like, you cannot like the guy. I have no problem with you not liking an athlete for whatever reason, or an actor, or a celebrity. Dislike them all you want. Don't say the guy sucks. He's the all-time NBA scoring leader. He's been to 10 titles, you know, 10 championships. He's won 4 or 5. He's a freak in the game.
MVP, and defensive multiple MVPs, player of
yes,
the year.
All every awesome. Accolade. And so when you say so-and-so sucks, I'm like me saying Tom Brady sucks. I don't like Tom Brady. He's stomped on my team for 2 decades. But for me to claim he's not a good quarterback would be stupid. All right, you ready to wrap this up?
Wrap it up.
We're at Whiskey Congress on X, formerly known as Twitter, and I'm fucking tired of saying that, but I'll keep doing it anyway. Also Instagram and Threads that no one uses. We are not on Truth Social, but we're done.